The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Program's Lyrics and Legends. Buck Weatherby's in the studio with me, my partner in crime here.
Oh, yeah. And we can't wait to talk to Miss Tina.
Tia Goins on the phone. If anybody is a fan of the Country Family Reunion or Larry's Country Diner or any of those programs, you've bound to have seen her on one of those shows. Tia, thanks for joining us.
The last time I saw her, she was sitting next to a good buddy of ours.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
On one of those shows.
Don't blow that.
You don't want me to talk about that?
Don't blow that,
right?
Yeah, we want to save
that. I won't mention the name Bill Mack then.
Okay, we've got to save that for just a little bit.
we'll wait and throw that on Tia here in just a minute.
Tia, thanks for joining us tonight.
I can already tell we're going to have fun today. I can already tell this is going to be a good time, y'all.
That is the plan.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate you doing this, and our program's kind of centered around taking a little more time to get into the background and history of musicians, and a lot of them have been Texas musicians, but we've also been fortunate to do some Nashville musicians, and right now you're a Nashville girl, right?
I am a Nashville girl, yeah. I've been in Nashville, gosh, long time.
Tell us where you
grew
up.
Nashville is home. I grew up in Missouri, a little town called Lowry City, a very, very small town. We had about 600 people in town and a gas station. So that's about that was life growing up for me. But I couldn't have had a better place to grow up, in my opinion, though, because it was just nice. You could ride your bike all over town. I lived out in the country, and it was just a good place to grow up.
You missed a good chance from being from Kansas, didn't you? Isn't that pretty close?
Yeah, it's not too far. Yeah, it's about an hour past Kansas border. Yeah, would be just west of us. But yeah, it was a good little spot. It was kind of in between Kansas City and Springfield.
How far, right?
We had big cities we could go to if we needed to, a couple of hour drive either way.
How far from Tidewad, Missouri, were you from?
Tidewad was about 25 minutes. From where I grew up. Now, Tidewad is a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
It was population 56.
I heard you and Bill talking about that.
You can't mention that name yet.
No, not Bill Mack.
Not Bill Mack?
No.
Oh, Bill Anderson.
Yeah. Y'all had played a gig or something.
The other Bill.
Yeah. Y'all had played a gig around Tidewad, and you were telling the story about they've got a bank.
They do. They have a bank in Tidewad. I don't even know. I don't know that it's still open. But back when I was growing up, there was a tiny little bank there called the Tidewad Bank. And people from all over the country had bank accounts there just so they could have checks. You know, back when we all used to use checks all the time. But so their checks would say Tidewad Bank on them. True.
That was pretty good.
I know.
That's great. So you started music, I mean, pretty much just after you learned to walk,
I was singing for as long as I can remember. My mom has some cassette tapes of me when I was like 2 or 3 years old, just in my room playing and singing and, you know, making up songs and just, you know, it was just something I always just sort of came natural to me. And so I, of course, sang in the children's choir at church and things like that. And I did my first solo in church when I was 3. And, at a Christmas program. So once I kind of had the knack of, oh, I get a microphone. Oh, and they're going to clap when I'm finished. Oh, let's do this. Okay. Like I was all in after that. So I started doing little talent shows and little festivals around where we lived, you know, and would sing at things. And when I was 8 years old, I was in a talent show at a country music show that was in Tidewad, Missouri. Now, Tidewad didn't have much, but it had a country music show called the Truman Lake Opry, and it was a live venue, about a 600-seat theater. They had a live band, and I was in a talent contest there, and the following summer, they called and asked if I would like to be a full-time member of the show. And for me, you know, my number one goal as an 8-year-old was to be on the Grand Ole Opry. So the Truman Lake Opry was as close as I could get at the time. And I said, absolutely, I want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my mom sitting me down and having this big conversation of, now this is a commitment and it's going to be every weekend and you're going to miss the slumber parties and you're going to miss things like that. You know, you're not going to be able to do a lot of that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't care. That's fine. I want to sing. It's okay.
That ended up being a pretty good decision, didn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was a great training ground to be able to work with a band and learn how to interact with an audience and, you know, learn how to, you know, just to learn stage presence and things like that. And I did that up until I was 19. I was working at that show and other little country music shows that were around the area, little Opry shows. And it was really worthwhile because I know when I moved to Nashville, there were some other people that were new to town at the same time. And a lot of them, although they were great singers, but they'd never performed anywhere. You know, they'd never really done the stage thing. And the fact that I kind of had a little bit of experience with that kind of stuff, I feel like that really helped out a lot.
Well, hey, we want to get a chance for some of our listeners that may not be familiar with your music, so we want to get a song in here real quick so they can hear your I love your voice. And first one we're going to do, I think, is Walk Out Backwards. Talk a little bit about this one and maybe why you decided to record it, and then we'll play it for our listeners.
All right. This song, we recorded this on my first album. Carrie Choate, who is my producer and my manager, he and I had started going through music, and we came across Walk Out Backwards, and I'm a sucker for a shuffle. So I was like, well, let's for sure, we need to do that song. And so we went in and recorded it, and at the time, we kind of passed it off to Bill Anderson just so he would be able to hear it, you know, hey, someone cut your song.
He liked it too, I bet.
He did, and they were doing the Country Scene, the reunion tribute to Bill Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the invite. That was the very first Country Family Reunion I was ever a part of. And
that's
it was because of Walk Out Backwards.
Right.
Bill asked me to be a part of that, and that was the first performance that I ever got to do, and talk about an intimidating room to play in front of.
I bet that was it.
But it was a lot of fun.
That was a number one song for Bill.
And that has become my family.
In 1961, maybe?
Yeah, probably so. Something around there.
Hey,
yeah.
So just to give our listeners an idea, you go in and do this Bill Anderson song at this. Tell us a few of the people that were in the room while you were having to do this.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, Vince Gill was the host. So Vince was there. Charlie Pride was at that particular one because he was sitting at my table, I remember well. Gene Watson was there. Of course, all of the Opry stars, the Jim Ed Browns and Jeannie Seeley and all those folks were there. Buddy Cannon, the great producer and songwriter, he was there. Jamie Johnson was there. So it was a pretty wide variety. I mean, there were, I would guess, probably 30, 35 people in that room. And it's just basically a who's who of every hero you can think of, and then me. And I was the new kid on the block going, how did I get here? I was very thankful to be there.
Yeah, you kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, didn't you?
Yeah, I felt like it. I sure felt like it.
Well, hey, we're going to listen to Walk Out Backwards. We'll be back with Tia Goins right after this.
So high my heart can't stand the fall. truth won't hurt so much if I can just pretend. So I'll bow backwards and I'll thank you walking in. Just walk out backwards and I'll thank you walking in.
So the program's Lyrics and Legends in the studio with me, my partner in crime, Buck Weatherby, and also from our Amarillo show, Amarillo by Morning, Charlie West. We have on the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee, Tia Goins. Tia, thanks for calling in and letting us visit with you. That Walk Out Backwards, that's a great song that we just listened to. So you moved to Nashville after you had done this gig at the local Opry there at Tightwad for eight or nine years
yeah.
or so, and then so
yeah,
the,
I'm
curious. Like,
college.
Do you think just okay, we're going to take this to the next level, or
my goal was always to come to Nashville. That was something from when I was very young. I knew that Nashville is where, if I was going to pursue country music, that's where I needed to be. So I finished up high school, finished up college while I was still in Missouri, and I hadn't been out of college maybe 6 months, a year, and I was like, okay, I'm going to Nashville. And so I moved here. I got an apartment completely sight unseen in a part of town that I had no idea if it was a good part of town or a bad part of town. And my mom and my dad and my grandma and me, we had a U-Haul, and they brought me up here. It was on Halloween night.
They dropped me off.
Trick-or-treat. Exactly. We had to go buy candy because people kept coming to my apartment to trick-or-treat, and we didn't have any candy because we were trying to move in. But I got all my stuff moved in. They spent the night, and the next day, they headed back to Missouri. And here I was in Nashville all by myself, didn't know one soul. It was interesting, though. I was never afraid. There was never a time when I was scared. I was exactly where I knew that I was supposed to be. And I thought, I didn't know exactly where I was going to go, but I knew I was where I needed to be, if that makes sense.
So what was your next step? I mean, you get an apartment, you go to Nashville, you move in, and then get up the next morning,
yeah.
and you're like, I'm going to go get a record contract or what?
That's it. That's the way everyone assumes that it works. And that's what's so funny to me, is you think, well, I'm moving to Nashville, and, you know, the next day everything's going to take place. And it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. There was a lot of networking. There was a lot of getting to know people and going to, you know, different things happening in town and trying to meet folks and all that kind of stuff. I held a real job for a while. I worked at Verizon Wireless and sold cell phones for a little while. I got married, and my husband, right after we got married, he said, you know, you didn't move here to work at Verizon. He said, so you quit and you need to work on your music. That's what you came here to do. And I was like, thank you. So it's wonderful to have a very supportive husband. I'll say that for sure. Cause that's
you
a lot of folks.
You didn't argue
that
about that, huh?
I did not argue in the least, not at all. And so I ended up getting a job at WSM Radio, which I, of course, was a huge Opry fan and could tune in to WSM when I was in Missouri. If the weather was right on a Saturday night, we could tune in and get it. Because, you know, they cover 38 states and parts of Canada. And so I was a huge, you know, WSM fan, and I had actually just went to a remote to meet some of the DJs and got to talking to one of the girls that worked there and said, hey, if you guys ever need like a volunteer, I would work for free. And she called me a few months later and said, we've got this part-time promotions position open. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. Absolutely. I would love that. So as I was, you know, working, I was trying to do some songwriting and try, you know, that kind of thing. That's the kind of networking that you do when you get to town. You meet songwriters and you try to write, which I am not a writer, but I certainly gave it a fair try. But I was doing that, and I was working at WSM, and they came to me one day and said, hey, we wanted to teach you some production stuff. And I said, sure, no problem. And so they taught me, you know, how to run the boards and all that kind of stuff. And they said, oh, and we want you to run talent and produce the Grand Ole Opry warm-up show on Saturday nights with Keith Bilbrey.
Tell us.
Like,
Were you nervous?
I said, so you want me to be backstage at the Grand Ole Opry every Saturday night and talk to the artists, and you're going to pay me to do that? Seriously? Okay. Please.
Yeah.
So it was those two or three years that I did that job were the most fun. And it, I felt like it was sort of the very tail end of the era of the Grand Ole Opry that I grew up idolizing.
Right. Well, Tia, I understand that a snowstorm really paid a dividend for you. Now, talk a little bit about that.
Yes, it did. So I had left WSM. I was working on my first album. And I guess you may need to know how that all happened. Let me rewind just a little bit.
Okay.
So after one of our events at WSM, I had went over to the Station Inn with a couple of the girls I worked with to listen to the Time Jumpers, the great Western swing band, when they were playing at the Station Inn. And this was back in 2008. John Huey was still playing with them. I mean, they were just fantastic. And I knew the drummer. His name was Rick Vanoff. And he spotted me in the audience and said, hey, call her up. So they call me up to sit in on a couple of songs. I did a couple of tunes. Show gets over with. And this man approaches me, who I don't know who he is. But he comes up and he says, my name's Terry Choate. I manage the Time Jumpers. And we need to make a record.
Wow.
That's literally how that happened. Like, I couldn't have made that happen if I'd tried. You know what I mean? It was one of those things like, okay, thanks, God. This is pretty cool. So anyway, Terry and I started working pretty much almost immediately on my first album. And in 2010, it was January, it was snowing in Nashville, and, you know, we don't get snow real often here. So even the slightest little gift of snow closes down the whole city. And so we were like supposed to get 2 or 3 inches, which is a blizzard here. You know, everybody was just really panicked. And I'm from Missouri going, really? You know, this is not that big a deal. But anyway, so my husband had got sent home early from work. So I was sitting at my house. I had my pajamas on. I was ready for a night in. I had went and bought all the junk food. We were going to be snowed in. It was going to be great. And I get this call from a phone number that I do not recognize. So I let it go to voicemail, like we do. I check the voicemail, and it is from Steve Gibson, the music director at the Grand Ole Opry.
What?
They have had a few of the artists that could not make it in because of the snow. Is there any way you could make it here?
Oh,
the show is at the
gosh.
Ryman. And I don't really remember much. There was a lot of screaming. There was a lot of jumping up and down, running around. This was in the afternoon, and I was supposed to be there like at 5:30 for a rehearsal. So I didn't have time to get nervous, which
wow.
was really great, you know, because I didn't have time to even
process. You didn't have a week to
it.
Think
was,
about it and fret.
No, yeah, to work myself up over it. So I grabbed the first thing in my closet, got myself together as best I could, and got in my four-wheel drive car and truck, and Brandon and I took off to the Ryman. And so my very first Grand Ole Opry experience was on the stage of the Ryman Auditorium. Gene Shepherd introduced me, and it was like walking into a dream.
Oh, wow. You remember what you sang?
I sang Walk Out Backwards.
All right.
I sang, yeah, I know, right? See, how do you like that for a little segue?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then I think I also did I'm Still Not Over You. I think those were the two I did, because we were, I don't even know that the first record had been released yet.
I want to save I'm Still Not Over You, because I want to ask you a little bit about that in a minute, but let's get another song in here, and how about we do Memories to Burn?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk about this one a little bit, or I'll tell you what, we'll play the song, and we can backfill a little bit here when we get out of it. So.
Okay.
All right, let's listen to Memories to Burn by Tia Goins. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Baby, lately you've been getting under my skin, and I don't want to have to say, there he goes again. Please don't be another lesson I'll have. please address your memories to whom it may concern.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends on the phone from Nashville, Tennessee. Tia Goins with us in the studio with me, my old friend Buck Weatherby, and to my right our Amarillo by morning. Yeah, it's on my right for all you people that are watching on radio. So.
Amarillo by morning. Legends 103.9.
Charlie West. And Charlie, thanks for coming up and doing this with us. And
I wouldn't have missed this for the world. And we're supposed to get bad weather tomorrow.
We are, so... Yeah. Maybe he may get snowed in Shamrock, Texas.
Maybe we'll get a call from the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah,
could happen.
There you go. Stranger things have happened.
Well, I've got a quote here. See if you know who made this quote. Tia Goins is the whole package. Good looks, great voice, and a style that is steeped in tradition, and yet as fresh as this morning sunrise. And did I mention she's country with a capital C? You know who said that?
You know, I don't. Please tell me.
Whispering Bill. Isn't that sweet?
That is.
I'll tell you what that is. That's very surreal, is what that is. When someone who I have respected and looked up to and grown up with, you know, says something that is just kind. And he's a great friend as well. I mean, we text each other every now and then. We went and had lunch not too long ago. And that just to know that, you know, that's very, very sweet and very surreal. And
all right. So the song we just played before I introduced my crew here was Memories to Burn. Talk about why you recorded that and what it is you love about that song.
Well, you really can't go wrong with Gene Watson music. I mean, Gene Watson knows how to choose great music, and that's just always been one of my favorites of his. And we kind of decided to put our spin on it. We slowed it down just a little bit and kind of changed it around just a little bit. But it's a great country song. I mean, that's something that has been really important to me when I'm recording. On all of my albums, we have done songs that have been recorded before. Obviously, Walk Out Backwards, Memories to Burn, things like that.
Yeah, but put your really twist on it.
Exactly. And that's what's really fun for me. That's my creative part of it is, okay, I love this song. How can I make this my song? What can I do to, you know, give it the Tia spin or whatever? And it's just that's a fun process for me. Steve Smith and Terry Choate and I, we go in there and just start with these arrangements and coming up with just different ideas, you know, so that the song is still familiar, but that it feels new. And hopefully that the audience that already knows that song, it's a refreshing look at that song. And then the people who maybe have never heard that song, maybe a younger generation, it's a brand new song to them. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep it wide open and just give the traditional country music, not take anything away from the traditional sound, but to also put a fresh spin on it.
Yeah, well, we really enjoy it. Earlier in the program, I kind of shut Buck down because he was fixing to bring up something that I wanted to bring up now, that you talk about Bill Anderson, and you've been a part of so many of the country family reunion programs. You guys did a tribute to Ray Price that you were a big part of, Buck.
May I say my line
Buck,
now?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pitching
it to
now.
You. I'm pitching it to you, Buck.
Yeah, Tia, the last time I think I saw you on television, you were sitting next to an idol of mine, a hometown boy right here from Shamrock, Texas, Mr. Bill Mack.
I heard y'all say Shamrock earlier, and I was like, they're in Bill's hometown.
We are.
I didn't realize that's where y'all were.
We're just across the street from Bill Mack Plaza. So, I mean,
oh my Lord.
And you know, Bill, he calls us and he tells us he and Willie are going to come climb the water tower here. We have the tallest water tower in the state of Texas. And so. Yeah, we're still waiting on that one to happen.
I have no doubt they could do it. If anybody could, it'd be those two.
There might have been a time when Bill could.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, Bill was so good to me early on. When my first album came out, we sent him a copy just on a fluke, hoping that he would even get it. You know, because when you send things to people, you don't know that they're ever going to actually get them. And we sent it to him, and at one point, he was playing 3 or 4 songs of mine a day on satellite radio.
I do that.
When my first album came out.
Oh.
No, but and I thank you for that. But it was such a, for someone, like, that was my first record. That was in 2010. No one had a clue who I was. And he was over there just laying it on him. And I went to his studio at his house a couple of times and did interviews. In fact, he called Ray one time while I was in his studio being interviewed and, like, puts me on the phone with Ray. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? It was amazing.
Bill, and you know, Bill's been, he's gone out of his way to help us here too in Shamrock. It's been amazing what he's done. What a big heart. And
absolutely.
So you were in this one country family reunion and sitting next to Bill, and I think Mo Pitney was on your other side there, and you did this tribute to Ray Price that I want to do now. The title of the song is I'm Still Not Over You. Talk about this a little bit, and maybe the influence Ray had on you growing up.
Yeah, Ray's influence is probably the strongest of any artist in my life. I think what sets him apart and really made him something that I wanted to aspire to have the kind of career that he's had is that he was so versatile. He could go out and do a honky-tonk song like Heartaches by the Number, and then he could turn around and do For the Good Times or Nightlife, and it almost have a jazz feel, you know, or a big band kind of sound. The album Portrait of the Singer is one of my favorite albums ever, just because it combines all types of music, but it's still country because it's Ray. You know, and I think that's something that really stuck out to me. And I've heard him interviewed so many times that he was never afraid to record songs that he loved. If a song spoke to him, he recorded it. Didn't matter if it was what everybody else thought was cool or what the record label thought was okay or whatever. If he loved it, he did it. You know, the whole Danny Boy thing. He wanted to do Danny Boy. Did he catch a lot of flack for it? Absolutely. Was it probably the biggest selling record he ever had? Probably so, you know, so it's like he was so good at what he did, and he never settled for anything other than the music that he cared about and he felt was important.
Will you stand and introduce him as Ray Price and his Cherokee Symphony Orchestra?
Right? I know. And I love that. I think it's brilliant. And I love everything he did and everything that he stood for and just the type of music and the style that he had and the way he interprets music. I love it. And to be a part of that was a really, really big deal for me. Jeannie Price was there, and she and I had become friends on Facebook, but we'd never met in real life until I did that Country Family Reunion. And she kind of co-hosted it with Bill Anderson. And then later that year, the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame opened an exhibit for Ray, and Janie called me and said, I want you to come and sing at this opening ceremony. And so I got to be a part of that. I'm very honored, and I'm very, very thankful. The couple of times that I got to meet Ray and got to talk to him, he was very kind.
Your first time to meet him when you were at WSM, talk about that just a little bit, and then we'll play this. I'm Still Not Over You.
Yeah, he had popped in. He was recording in Nashville, and he just popped in to see Eddie Stubbs one night.
Love Eddie
and
Stubbs.
I was coming home from a gig. I think I was coming in from a gig in Branson, and I was listening, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, he's at the studio. So I just drive down to the studio, and I'm not sure if you guys have ever been to the WSM studios. They're inside the Opryland Hotel, and they're surrounded by windows. So it's almost like a big fishbowl. You just kind of can look in and watch whatever's happening at the studio. So I went into the hotel and was standing there. This was I wasn't working at the station at the time, but I knew Eddie and had been there, you know, had worked there. So I'm standing outside the window, and Eddie just sort of motions for me to come on in. And so it was Eddie and me and Ray. And I don't know if I even said a word that night. I just sat there and listened.
Starstruck.
And huh? I was absolutely enamored. I really was. And the things that he was saying, he was talking about how, you know, he did his thing. And doing my thing my way is the way, you know, it's worked for me. And I was just like, man, you are preaching. Like, it was a religious experience for me, because he was saying exactly what I needed to hear in my music career at that time. He was saying it, and I was like, yes, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm doing this. You know, it really solidified everything that I was already kind of feeling.
That's fantastic. Hey, we want to listen to I'm Still Not Over You, and then we'll be back with more of Tia Goins right after this.
Made a point to go somewhere I knew be. I had to know if you still had the same effect on me. And the moment that I saw you,
no matter
the program's Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Nashville, Tennessee, Tia Goins, who has been on Country Family Reunion, Larry's Country Diner, and so many more shows in the studio.
All the big country shows.
Buck
on
Weatherby.
TV.
Also, my good friend. To my right, Charlie West. Charlie, what do you got?
Well, I've got another quote for Tia. Let's see if she can figure out who said this for her.
Oh, gosh.
If I've ever heard a young lady who deserves to be a superstar, it's Tia Goins.
I think I do know who said that. That was my littlest friend, little Jimmy Dickens.
That's right. Very good.
Yes. He and I, we were big, big buddies. I loved that man. He was wonderful. He introduced me the second time that I played the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, cool.
But I opened a show for him when I was about 8 or 9 years old in Tightwad at the Truman Lake Opry. And he was taller than me at that time. So I have a picture of he and I when he was actually bigger than me.
Not a lot of people can say that, Tia.
No, I know, right? But he was just always so supportive and just funny. I mean, you talk about a funny individual.
He's
that
funny on Country's Family. When he was on Country's Family Reunion,
he was a hoot. He was so quick-witted. I mean, he could just say stuff. And I'm going, how do you even think of things that quickly? He was one of a kind. He really was. He's one of those characters that we will not see again. He was just wonderful.
Another tribute show you did was one you did with Merle Haggard.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that one a little bit for us.
That was the Country Family Reunion Merle Haggard tribute that we did it in 2015, I believe. And it was Merle was scheduled to be on the program, and he passed away about a month before we went to tape. Mm.
Okay.
And so all three of his boys, Ben and Noel and Marty, were all there. And, of course, the whole room of just, you know, Mac Wiseman was there, and Vince Gill and Paul Franklin were there as part of it. Ray Benson was there. I mean, there were just all kinds of people to pay tribute to Merle, which was phenomenal. And I did a song that I had recorded on my first album. It's probably my favorite song I've ever recorded. And it was a song that Merle wrote along with Red Lane, who I'm a huge Red Lane fan. I love his writing style. And Red and Merle had written this song, and Merle had recorded it, but it was never a big hit for Merle. And we changed the arrangement completely around when I recorded it, and we did it on this show. And it has become probably the most requested song that I do of all of the music that I do on all my shows. Walk Out Backwards used to be the most requested, but now it is I Didn't Mean to Love You.
All right. We want to listen to I Didn't Mean to Love You, and we're going to come back and visit a little bit more with Tia Goins right after this.
I didn't mean to miss you, but I do. I didn't want to want you. Didn't mean to think about you. Thought I could live without you. Didn't mean to love you, but I do. Didn't mean. I didn't mean to call you. but I did. Thought I could keep my feelings hid. Meant to love you now and then. Looks like it's now again. I didn't mean to love you.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me, Buck Weatherby, who's done way more of these than I can keep count of. And
I think you're ahead of me on count by far, though.
Yeah, probably so, but I always can count on Buck. And then what I had to do this time is because Charlie West, Charlie and I were talking. We text each other back and forth, and I'm like, who can I get for Lyrics and Legends? And he gives me a couple of names, and he says, you really need to contact Tia Goins. And I said, well, you know, I'll just give it a shot. Sometimes you call people and they turn you down.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
But this time it worked.
We're so excited
to have Tia on the phone.
I knew with a title like Lyrics and Legends, I couldn't turn that down.
Very
excited. Well, I don't know if I'm a legend, but it sounded good.
So you will be after this, for sure. You will be after
this. Well, thank you very much. A legend in Shamrock.
In Amarillo and Shamrock, yeah.
So. All right, I'll take it.
Did you have another Bill Mack comment? You got that?
No, but I did have a suggestion for Tia.
Okay.
In your Nashville travels, if you ever run across a piano player by the name of Glenn D. Harden, are you familiar with that name?
I am familiar with that name. I've not played with them, but I know who you're referencing.
Yet. He was Elvis's piano player and choreographer for several years, and he is from a little, well, it's not even a town, it's just kind of
creek
a place placed by a creek between Shamrock and Wellington, and ended up being with Elvis for quite a few years. But if you ever run across Glenn D. Harden there in Nashville, tell him all the guys from Legends in Shamrock said hi. We've had him on the show. We've had him on the show here a couple of times.
Okay. Well, I'll sure tell him if I see him.
He'll be impressed that you knew who he was.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, Tia, so talk about a little bit. We kind of got you through these country family reunion shows. How many did you do, actually? Do you have a count on how many of those?
Gosh. I want to say, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 of
eight.
Them.
I'm we'll go with eight.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8, yeah.
That's great. So, now coming up,
we're getting ready to go on the cruise. I'm getting ready to go on a country family reunion cruise. So,
oh, wow.
Who's going to be on that with you?
That's going to be, let me see if I can name everybody, Bill Anderson, Jeannie Seeley, Gene Watson, Rhonda Vincent, Mark Wills, the Malthus Brothers, Wilson Fairchild, Ashley Campbell, Joshua Headley, Jimmy Fortune. There's one more. I guess it's me. Me.
Don't leave me out.
I'm like, wait, there's someone else. Me. Oh, yeah.
Me.
Yeah. But it will be all of us, and there will also be, of course, the cast of Larry's Country Diner will be on there. So Larry and Keith Bilbrey and Nadine and all those folks. So, and we just go to the Caribbean for 7 days, and we just have the best time. We play music. We have jam sessions.
Now, when's that coming up?
And I'm going to be, That's going to be the last week of January. And then we're also having a Christmas cruise. So technically, I'm going to get to do two cruises this year. We'll be doing a Country Family Reunion Christmas cruise in December of 2020. So if you couldn't make this one, which obviously it's probably too late to do this one, but come join us in December and spend Christmas with us.
All right. You know, well, I wrote down way more songs than what we can get in here. We're going to try to get a few more in before the end of the program. Charlie's over here pointing to one particular song, and he's like, you got to do this one next. And so I'm going to throw this at you, and you can talk about this one, the song called Letter from God.
Yeah, this song was one of the first songs that was pitched to us on my first album. And it was just the first time I heard the demo of the writer performing the song, I was in tears midway through the song. And I feel like even now, I recorded that in 2010. So 10 years later, that song probably has even more meaning now with the way the world is going and the way the world seems to be going. Let me put it that way. But it's one of those songs I think every single person can relate to when you hear it. We've all been there. We've all thought, really, what is going on in this world? And it's just really a song of hope. It's a song that, you know, there are better things coming. There are always better things ahead. There's always good things to look forward to, you know. But this song is very moving, and I was really happy that I got to be the one that recorded it. We did a music video on this song, and it's very, very meaningful.
Charlie told us a while ago, while we were on a break, that he actually got a tear in his eye the first time.
No, I didn't get a tear in my eye. I bawled like a baby.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I mean, I remember the first time hearing it, and I was crying. It wasn't just a lump in my throat. I was crying, and I played it for some friends of mine, and they were all crying. I was like, okay, this song means something.
It's a keeper.
It is, absolutely.
All right, we're going to listen to Letter from God. We'll be back to visit with Tia Goins right after this.
There was a letter with a funny postmark on it. No return address. Junk mail, I guessed. But I opened it anyway. It was written in a beautiful hand. Words so simple a child could understand. Almost spilled my coffee as the truth dawned on me. And oh my God, was all that I could say. And it said, this is a letter from God. I know it's out of the blue that I've had my mind on you. And I've seen you struggle lately. The world is going crazy, and I felt you giving up, so I thought I'd get in touch. There's not a moment you're alone. I still love you like my own. I know there's work to do, but I've got faith in you, so please don't give up on. Laid down my letter to catch my breath. The room was spinning and I felt a light in my head. Why would he write to me? What's so special about me? I can't heal this broken world and all its broken hearts. And I kept on reading through a cloud of tears, half from curiosity and half out of fear. It was like he knew me. He could see right through me. He wanted me to know how beautiful we are. And he said, person's heart. We've been over this before. Feed the hungry, help the poor. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies and please remember to forgive. Then woke up in a tangled bed. Tears on my pillow and those words in my head. A little confused, but with a new sense of hope. If he's not giving up on us, then I sure won't. Thought I was doing pretty well.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. And in the studio, Charlie West from Amarillo, Texas. Amarillo by Morning, Legends 103.9.
That's correct.
Charlie, thanks for coming up here and joining us.
Oh, man, this is great.
We've got two real stars on this show, Tina and Charlie.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say Buck.
Yeah, I was, too.
No, I just walked in off the street to see what you guys were doing.
And I'm glad you came.
Tia, thanks so much for doing this. We've got time to do another song here.
Here's a song that you put your own twist to. You kind of slowed it down a little bit. An old Mel Tillis song, Two Arms, Two Lips, Too Lonely, Too Long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
I love Mel Tillis, first of all. Let me just put that out there. I love his music, but I loved him as an individual. He and I were friends for quite some time, and we got to know each other in Branson some, and then we did some things here, and I did the Midnight Jamboree with him a couple of times. He and the Statesiders, I mean, it's crazy to think that I've played with the Statesiders, but either way, it was just, he was really great. He was very supportive of my music and of what I was doing. He was really excited when I cut this song, and he was a good friend to me, and I really miss him. I miss his music, he was just, It's another country shuffle, and in my book, you can't go wrong with a shuffle.
Amen. We're going to listen to Two Arms, Two Lips, Too Lonely, Too Long, and then we're going to come back with the Department of Shameless Plugs, where you get to talk about anything you want to talk about. So we'll be back with more right after this.
Too long, too long. Two arms that almost
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. Thanks, Tia, for taking time to visit with a bunch of old geezers from the Texas Panhandle.
Hey, this has been a blast.
Oh, man.
This has been pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. I've laughed a lot. We've had a pretty good time. Yes,
it's been fun.
Good. I like it. Yes.
Now, we're entering the portion of the program we call the Department of Shameless Plugs. And this is your opportunity to talk about social media cruises, albums like, what was your last one? Sway Shuffle and...
Swing Shuffle and Sway.
Plug anything you want to do. So we're going to throw it to you. And
yeah, Larry and I actually knew the name of Larry. You got it wrong.
I wrote it down. I just can't read my handwriting.
It's okay. It happens all the time. Well, I guess I will just plug my website. It's TeeaGoAns.com. You can find me there. You can find all of my albums. I've got 4 traditional country albums that you can get. I've also got brand new merch. I've got t-shirts and hats that we've just added onto the website just about a month ago. So
swag.
That's all brand new. Swag. Okay. You can get your swag there. You can find your albums there. You can also get my music on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, the Ernest Tubb Record Shop, and all of my social media. I do Facebook, I do Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and I am the one that maintains it. So if you send me a message or you comment on something, I will be the one to read it. I'll be the one to respond to it. And I absolutely am addicted to it. So please be on my friend page, like my music page, say hello, tell me you heard me on the radio today, and keep in touch with me there. And you can get to all my social media stuff at my website also. So TiaGoins.com is going to be the best way. You can find out all my tour information there, all of my booking and contact info. If you've got shows you'd like us to do in your area, you can reach me there. And thank you so much to all of your listeners for supporting the kind of music that I do. Thank you for supporting traditional country music and loving it and allowing people like me to make this music.
So you think if we grovel enough and send you our P.O. box, we could get an autograph picture to hang on our wall of shame in here or anything like that?
I can guarantee it, yes.
And listen, tell Erin I said thank you a whole lot.
I will tell her. I absolutely will.
Now, if I run out of anything to do next Christmas and want to book a ticket on that cruise, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. You go to CFRcruise.com. That's CFR, like Country's Family Reunion, CFRcruise.com. And you can find out all the information on the upcoming Christmas cruise in December of 2020. We'd love to have y'all.
All right, Tia. Well, we thank you for taking time to do this. We really do. It means a lot for us, and we love your music. We love what you're doing, and if you come through Shamrock and it's not 3 in the morning or something, be sure and stop by.
I will absolutely do that, and thank you guys again for playing this music and for keeping it alive and for exposing your audience to what I'm doing. I really do appreciate that
wasn't
very
doing
much.
It. And
I
wouldn't have it any other way.
I have had a great time with you guys.
All right. Thanks
Even
a lot.
Even you, Charlie. See, I know your name, Charlie. Well,
thanks a lot, Tia. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.